When we started the band, nobody was out in pop music. No one.
Pansy Division's reason for existence is me just trying to deal with my alienation.
We were trying to be what we didn't see when we were growing up.
This is what I've always wanted to do, where I can be whoever I want to be.
I can't name a heterosexual band that writes about fucking so much.
Welcome to part 3 of my Pansy Division special. That first little snippet was the trailer for the film Pansy Division, Life in a Gay Rock Band, and it was followed by one that may be hard to find, as it's only found on the B-side of their latest 45, Average Men, and not on any CD. The song is a cover of a Green Day song called Coming Clean. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We had gotten as far as the CD Total Entertainment from 2003, putting it 5 years after Absurd Pop Song Romance, and on that CD, we find out Who Treats You Right.
It was a phrase Luis was using when we were on our last European tour in 98, and I thought, that sounds like a good song title. It's one of the first songs, and there are several that we wrote at that point and afterwards, that sort of use a sports motif. It's just partly because there's been so much progress for gay people in our society in the U.S., but not much in the area of sports or athletics. There are not gay athletes that are out, at least not during their careers.
He's into sports, looks good in shorts, but you're just another gay to him. I've seen his type, seen him all my life, always pulling for the side that's winning. You need someone who cares, so don't look over there. I can show you what you've been missing. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Thank you.
treat you right. I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right?
That was like the first song where I was thinking about sports as like a motif to use. And I do that on the new album as well on Pat Me on the Ass, which we just got a bad review the other day. And they're talking about how frivolous some of the songs on the new album are. But Pat Me on the Ass actually is based on the idea that, you know, guys can't touch each other except on the field, you know, except in, you know, basically to cream each other, except to like pat each other on the ass after a good play. And I thought that that was just something that needed comment.
One of the more serious songs from Total Entertainment was called No Protection.
What year was this? 2001 or 2002. There's a terrible meth epidemic in the gay scene in San Francisco. And after a long, slow decline, HIV rates were starting to go up. And you start hearing about barebacking as a phrase. And it made me really mad and really frustrated because I felt like one of the things I tried to do with Pansy Division was, even though we're singing about sex, emphasize the safe sex angle, not in a proselytizing kind of way, but just as a footnote to the kinds of activities we're talking about and advocating. So it's the idea that we wanted to tell a story about, you know, yes, you still need to use condoms. I mean, the message is clear, but at the same time, I don't think it's too preachy. Oh, one more thing about No Protection. We did No Protection as a dance track because our version of what a dance track would be, a Pansy Division dance track, because that was the setting for, you know, that's the gay bar setting. I don't know if it really got played in gay bars, but, you know, that was the idea. It's like, here's our version of what a club song should be.
Well, I pictured us walking down the aisle. fashion. Now listen to me. Oh, 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 I want you. But no, 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 this won't do. No, no, I won't screw with no protection. Oh, 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 I want you.
August of 2002, I was in Los Angeles and attended a festival called Sunset Junction, held in Silver Lake. Pansy Division were the lead act, and I got to hear several songs prior to their being released on the Total Entertainment CD. I had my recorder going, and I hope John will forgive me for playing a live version of He Whipped My Ass. It's the first time they played that song in public.
Whip My Ass in Tennis. That was just a phrase I came up with. I don't know why. And I just kind of based the song around it. I do play tennis. That was just a fun piece of fluff.
This is another new one. This is called He Whipped My Ass in Tennis, Then I Fucked His Ass in Bed.
I've not mentioned enough the Pansy Division website, of course, at www.pansydivision.com. I think it's just about the perfect artist site with the right information, organization, and music. And courtesy of the Pansy Division website are two tracks otherwise not available in digital format. They are outtakes for the Total Entertainment CD and showed up only on vinyl, on a split 45 EP with the Skin Jobs in 2004. The songs are Your Loss and I Know Your Type.
know your type. You're the type who wants it all. You're the type who wants a ball thrown in your name completely hyped. I know your type. You're the type who intercedes. You're the type who will succeed while all the others whine and gripe. I know your type. I know your type. Infatuations follow you. I know your type. Congratulations on your new relationship. He's funny and hip. It's really too bad that you won't notice when he swipes. He's not your type. I know your type. Situation's about to brew. I know your type. Continuation of your newfound recipe. A better way to be. It's really too bad that others can't live up to your stripe. And they're not your type, but you pretend to feel the pain when you think you have something to gain from playing a stereotype. And I think that I'll refrain from overripe. I think that I'll refrain from picking fruit that's overripe.
Pansy Division made many guest appearances on compilation albums over the years. In 2003, there was a project called the Rocky Horror Punk Rock Show. They got to contribute I Can Make You a Man.
God!
Oh, a weakling. Weighing 98 pounds. We'll get sand in his face when kicked to the ground, and soon in the gym with a determined chin, the sweat from his pores as he works for his cause, will make him glisten and gleam, and with massage and a little bit of steam, he'll be pink and quite clean.
He'll be a strong man, but a hard man.
He'll eat nutritious, high protein, and swallow raw eggs.
Yeah.
Try to build up his shoulders, his chest, arms, and legs.
Such an effort.
Press ups and chin ups, do the snatch clean and jerk. He thinks dynamic tension must be hard.
Such brainless living, I just don't understand. That in just 7 days, I can make you a man.
Over the years, with your songwriting and the many sexual subjects you've covered and all the boundaries you've gleefully leaped over, have you come up with any songs that you thought, oh no, even for us, this is too over the edge?
No, but I did come up with songs that kind of repeated themes. But, you know, there are limits. You know, at one point I thought, all right, what haven't we sung about? And I thought, you know, like certain sexual activities. I thought, I'm not going to sing about that. You know, it's like I've got my limits about what I want to sing about or what other people in the band want to sing about. And it's not like we have to catalog everything. But, you know, at some point I thought, well, maybe that's what people expect from us. And I thought, well, if I feel like doing that, then I will. But I haven't really felt the need.
Why did you write the book?
Even if a lot of people hadn't heard us, a lot of people had heard of us during the 90s. I thought that we got our name out there pretty well. By the middle of this decade, it seemed like that was fading away. Like, there wasn't too much talk about queer rock anymore. We weren't active. Most of the bands that had started out in the 90s weren't active anymore. Most had broken up. And I felt like the moment that gave birth to us and these other bands was a really interesting moment. And that a lot of people, especially people who were younger, who were, you know, people who went to see us on the Green Day tour, a lot of them were 14 years old and now they're 29. So people who are under 25 probably missed that, or under 20 for sure. I felt like I need to document this history. It's something I lived through, and it's something that's important, and I think I have a unique perspective on it. I had some tour diaries that I'd kept during the 90s that were, I thought, pretty interesting and pretty entertaining, and I thought, this is a good starting point to write a book. So I did, and it took me quite a while, because I kept starting and stopping and putting it off and doing other things, just life intervened.
As you know, I've been a fan of the band for many, many years, and reading the story, you know, with the activity getting less and less and members moving to different parts of the country, it made me kind of sad, but somehow you managed to give the book an upbeat ending.
I think that's because we managed to put another album together. When I finished the book, at the end of 2006, we weren't planning on doing any other recording, so I had to kind of rewrite the last chapter and touch it up a little bit right before it went to press, because things kept happening. But I think it's the idea that I still feel a purpose for our band, to sing about things the way that we do. And if the times are different, we'll sing things that are different. There's a couple angrier songs on this album. We've had a few before, but I think there's three pretty angry songs, two of which Chris wrote, which actually he's turning out to be really good at, because I'm the supposedly the more ideological one between us. I'm more politically oriented. Not that he isn't, but I'm more so. So for him to write songs like Never You Mind and That's So Gay, I thought, wow, that's really something different that we haven't done before. You know, I'm really happy with what we just came up with. If it's not quite as good as Absurd Pop Song Romance, I think it's close. I think Total Entertainment was a good record, but it had a few weak spots, and I'm not really used to thinking of our records as having weak spots. But I think the new one's really solid.
I want to go back and slip in one of their longest songs. It was on their first Lookout 45 in 1992, but did not make it to a CD until the Pile Up album in 1995. It's a revamping of the Nirvana song, which became Smells Like Queer Spirit.
Attacking free.
Almost up to the latest album, That's So Gay, but I want to slip in a song about Pansy Division. It's by a Massachusetts band called Pre Basso Continuo, and called You Don't Have to Be Gay to Like Pansy Division, but it helps.
Went down to the record store. Saw a poster on the door. It said, queercore band signed big today. They were signing their CDs. I approached them nervously. I said, put your John Hancock on my 7-inch.
Got a jean jacket with that patch. All the kids, they give me crap. They say, you must be gay. Like that band.
Brought it home to my girl. I asked her to give it a whirl. She said, are you trying to tell me something? The next day at work, my boss was being a jerk. She said, no more of that 9-inch man.
Someone asked me and I had to say no. He said, that's cool, let's hang out sometime.
You don't have to be Spanish to make an inquisition. You don't have to be gay to like Pansy Division. My mom and dad, they didn't think it was rad. They said, they kicked me out of the family. No more hot dogs and cookout fun. I just sit at home on my bum and think of the foursome that saves the day.
Razor and Minhead, the other day, saw my t-shirt and thought I was gay.
He is an ignorant, close-minded ass.
Yeah!
You don't have to be a doctor to make an indecision. You don't have to be gay to like Pansy Division. You don't have to be smart to make a decision.
you don't have to be gay. Like Pansy Television, you don't have to be blind to have poor vision. You don't have to be gay. Like Pansy Television, you don't have to be impossible to be on a mission. You don't have to be gay, but like Pansy Dubvision, you don't have to be the environment to make new mission. You don't have to be gay, but like Pansy Dubvision, you don't have to be no more to be a vision. You don't have to be gay, but like Pansy Dubvision, you don't have to be cold to have good vision. You don't have to be gay, but like Pansy Dubvision.
And here's another tribute song, and it's brand new, done by a friend of John's and an accomplished artist in his own right, Tim Kaine, who founded the band Boys Entrance. He did his own version of Femme in a Black Leather Jacket.
Doesn't feel to me straight or gay, and I know a boy who catches my eye. He don't act tough, why should he try? He's a femme in a black leather jacket. He's a gem in a black leather jacket. He's a femme in a black leather jacket, and I wanna take him home with me. With his long, long hair and pouty lips, cute little butt and sexy hips, the way he moves has me inspired. He's the boy that I require. He's a femme in a black leather jacket. He's a gem in a black leather jacket. He's a femme in a black leather jacket, and I wanna take him home with me. Good and as good as he does in jeans, he's the most notorious queen. His personality, I'm not impressed, but I can't wait to get him undressed. He's a femme in a black leather jacket. He's a gem in a black leather jacket. He's a femme in a black leather jacket, and I wanna take him home with me. He's a femme in a black leather jacket. He's a gem in a black leather jacket. He's a femme in a black leather jacket, and I wanna take him home with me. I wanna take him home with me. I wanna take him home with me.
Okay, on to That's So Gay, which starts out with Twinkie Twinkie Little Star.
There's this guy who I used to see around San Francisco who was a bad-tempered Twinkie, who I remember seeing, you know, probably when he first got to town, and just thinking, that guy's cute, but what a bad personality. And then I saw him a few years later, and he was looking kind of haggard. He was working at this cafe, and he was standing in the doorway of the cafe on his break, smoking a cigarette, thinking, wow, look at what he's come to at this point. So I was just thinking about him.
Did not age like a fine wine.
Nope.
Party scene, he's dropping trow, almost by the hour.
I asked John what song from the new album he would like to talk about.
Ooh. I'll mention Obsessed With Me from the new album. That's another serious song that's funny. It has a topical reference to Larry Craig and Ted Haggard for being hypocrites about, you know, the way they say they are versus the way they've actually led their lives in private. And it's just a song about how a lot of guys are never going to be willing to be out, but they're still obsessed with gay issues, obsessed with men, obsessed with dick. And I've been playing it on my book tour. It gets a really great reaction. And I wanted to include those topical references, even though I usually don't do that because they might not age so well. I don't want people to forget those hypocrites. And hopefully when people run across a song in the future, if they do, and they don't know who those names are, hopefully they'll Google them.
I saw it on the bathroom wall. I read it in the toilet stall. You can find it anywhere at all. You're obsessed with me. Truck stop on an interstate. In a dressing room backstage. Even when you're with a girl on a date, you're obsessed with me. You're obsessed with me with desire and hate. Cause I dare to do what fills you with shame. Ted Haggard, Larry Craig. Getting caught, getting laid.
After Obsessed With Me was another track from that CD called You'll See Them Again. Time for the title track, That's So Gay.
Chris came up with that, and, you know, I wish I'd written that song because, you know, the phrase really irks me, and I hear it all the time. I think the listeners of this show will understand why, but, you know, that, you know, when people are saying that's so gay, they're saying that gay equals bad, gay equals weak, gay equals inferior, gay is lousy.
Lame.
And, you know, that gets back to the whole thing about feminism. It's like, well, why is gay lame? Because gay is a feminine man. It's just devaluing women. You know, why is a gay guy bad? It's because he's like a girl. And then I hear girls using the phrase, that's so gay, and, you know, it's just like this double whammy. When Chris told me that he'd written the song and then I heard the song, I said, that's got to be the title of our next album. Because I think that's one of the things Pansy Division does best, is take these things that are floating around out there in society, in public, and having some kind of commentary on them. It's an angry song, but it is funny, too. And I think that's a good way for us to continue to work.
I heard what you said. I'm not stupid, you know. What do you take me for, hetero? The next time you say it, make sure I can't hear, 'cause you're pissing me off. Is that clear?
What did he say?
He said that's okay.
Really admire Joel's song, Some of My Best Friends.
Yeah, so do I. I talked to him about writing songs for the band, because I said, when he joined the band, I said, you know, Chris and I write a lot of songs. You know, they'll mainly be our songs, but if you want to write something, find something to write about that would be appropriate for the band, you know, do it. And that's what he came up with, and I just think it's fantastic. And on an album that doesn't have that much bad language, his song is the one that you know, has the words in it that you can't air on the radio. So it's kind of funny.
Just hear you ask what's up with all these queers.
Okay, that brings us up to date, covering the brand new CD, That's So Gay. I have to end the segment with something naughty and anthemic, and what better than this one?
I had reached a certain age, and that I had to reach to write that song. You know, there's a couple songs on the album that are about getting older in some ways. The other one is You'll See Them Again. You'll See Them Again and Twinkie, Twinkie Little Star are the two songs that I really wanted to record for posterity's sake. It's called 20 Years of Cock because I like the way it sounds, but also because Luis is 15 years younger than me. So between me and Luis and Chris, it's kind of the average of, given our ages, how many years we've been, you know, out and having sex. So 20 years. Maybe someday I'll be singing 30 years, because I'm almost coming up on 30 years of cock. So.
Well, I'm getting older, but I'm getting bolder.